Okay, verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. This chapter could be called Complete the Collection Under the Doctrine of Grace, if you were going to try to title it. What has evidently occurred is that the collection was begun on Paul's first visit. And while they, the Corinthians desired to do it, it was never done. In other words, the collection never took place. Now that Paul has written a severe letter and things are more under control, he is now comfortable enough to say, okay, you wanted to do this, now let's get it done. Okay? And that's kind of the context of this. If we don't understand this first verse, we will not understand the rest of the chapter. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. We are very good, especially as Lutherans, throwing around the word grace. Okay? I can tell you that there are other denominations that would define that word differently. Okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about grace this morning. You've heard all the attempts to define grace. So you've heard it, the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. And the other one that's commonly used is undeserved love. God's grace is the only way that we can have any relationship with God. If it is not founded on grace, there is no relationship with God. Because if it is founded on anything other than grace, then the emphasis begins to be upon us and upon what we do, and that is not a basis of a relationship with God. You are automatically under his condemnation. But here's the thing about grace. The only way we can have a relationship with God is by grace, and it is God himself that gives it. In other words, you can't have a relationship with God unless God makes it possible. It doesn't exist. God has to reach out to us for there to be a relationship. And that reaching out is his grace. It is his unconditional kindness. There is nothing about us that establishes the relationship. If there is any part of the relationship based on us, then there is no relationship except under condemnation. You are enemies of God. So the relationship is established by God. Now notice it says the grace that has been given. This is a passive verb tense. And it's pointing us to the fact that God is the giver. He is the one that gave the grace to those in Macedonia. So what is being said here is, God established the relationship, gave grace to those in Macedonia, and it is by God's work and God's work alone, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is God reaching out to us unconditionally by His grace to make us right with Him through Jesus Christ. All right? Through Jesus Christ. That is the basis of everything he's going to say in this chapter. It is all under grace. It is all under generosity. It is all under sacrificial giving. It is all under free giving, voluntarily giving. And what's basically going to be talked about is, when God gives you grace, that grace is for you to show forth grace to others. Okay? Even if they don't deserve it, because that's what God did for you. Okay? So to continue to give, to be evident. Now, let's go on with that in mind. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. The grace of God was given to them, and it was revealed. They have revealed that they have received the grace of God by the way they give to others. Let's call it the grace of giving. Okay? The grace of giving to others. Notice the words. He links affliction with joy. He links poverty with riches. He is saying they were afflicted, and yet that from that affliction flowed joy in giving, because they have received the joy from God. They were in poverty, but their rejoicing and giving meant riches for others. And it's not just talking about riches in the earthly sense. It's riches of grace. Okay? The presentation is certainly thus. That makes you think the Macedonian churches were poorer than the Corinthians. They were poorer. But the overwhelming nature of the grace that had worked in their hearts was joy. And that joy of the grace they had received was their motivation for then giving to others. Grace brings forth grace. When God shows you His grace, it works in you so that you are gracious to others. That's what's being said here. And that's what happened with the Macedonians. For verse 3, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. It is very clear that the giving of the Macedonians was voluntary, freely given. Nobody forced them to do this. Nobody coerced them to do this. They did it of their own volition because of the grace they had received. Okay? Now, we talked some, a little bit about the famine situation. There are famines mentioned all the time in the scripture. Claudius Caesar had thrown all the Jews out of Rome. He hated Jews. That's what we read about in verse chapter 18 of Acts, where we are told that that's where Paul met Aquila and Priscilla, because they had been thrown out of Rome by Claudius. With Claudius' disdain for the Jews, don't think he did anything to make sure that they had what they needed, such as food. Okay. So these famines, and Claudius's reign was from 41 to 54. Okay. So he ostracized the Jews. They were in poverty. This was not... But notice it says they gave by their means and above their means. Again, the emphasis is on voluntarily. Voluntarily. And then he goes on. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. All right, that is at the heart of everything. By God's grace, He has made them His people. And now they give in thanksgiving for that. You are the Lord's. You come to realize I'm the Lord's, and everything I have belongs to Him. Everything. Nothing is my own. I am not my own. None of my possessions are my own. And it is from that giving or seeing your relationship with God. As Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. There's the grace again. Everything you are and everything you have is a gift of God's grace. And you say, well, I work hard for my money. Well, God gave you abilities, and He gave you the ability to work hard. And if you didn't have health, or there was nothing you could do, you couldn't make that living. Everything goes back to God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. But notice it says, They gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. That is, they gave themselves, they are recognizing Paul's ministry for what it is. It is Paul's ministry that brought them the grace of God. Now, who are we talking about here? We're talking about those that he ministered to in Macedonia, predominantly at Philippi, the book of Philippians, Thessalonica, the books of Thessalonians. He was at Berea. There is not a book to the Bereans, but it's mentioned in Acts. These are the churches of Macedonia. These are those that he is talking about. So they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then they recognized Paul's ministry for what it was. By the grace of God, the gospel came to them through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Okay? That's what's being said here. But it's still all going back to grace. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of, notice he says, act of grace. The giving, the taking up of the offering is an act of grace. You get no credit for it. It's an act of God's grace working in you. Evidently, Titus had started the collection. Now he's called on to complete it. Okay? Paul is in Macedonia. We believe that the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians after Titus brought him the news that the severe letter had done its work, that they had repented, and now Paul is planning to go there. But he's going to spend a little more time in Macedonia. So as soon as Titus gets back from Corinth, he sends him back to Corinth. And probably, not only to start the collection, Titus probably took the letter of 2 Corinthians with him. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, we think, in Philippi. And when he sent Titus back to Corinth, he sent 2 Corinthians with him. Okay? So he's going back try to complete the offering, the collection. And he's encouraging the Macedonian churches by their overwhelming giving. He's using it as an example to move the Corinthians. This is how it works. You receive the grace of God. You receive the gifts of God. And then you give them away. Then you give them away. And that's what he is talking about. And he lists several kinds of grace. You know, Pastor Wade this morning talked about the spiritual gifts listed. Here is a list of gifts of grace. But as you excel in everything, notice he called the offering this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, that's a gift of God. In speech, that's a gift of God. In knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you. Even Paul's love for them is a gift of the grace of God. See that you excel in this act of grace also. So another act of grace is giving. Okay. Is giving. So he is talking to them about the grace of giving. Voluntarily, freely, generously, because that is the way God has treated them. Okay? And so it's all under the banner of grace. Okay? All under the banner of grace. Unfortunately, that's not the way many people look at stewardship. They look at it as, well, I'm a member of the church, so I guess I got to give something. Okay. What's actually going to be said is, if that's your attitude, God doesn't want it. Keep it. Okay. Keep it. So, at any rate, he's established this pattern of grace. All right, so we go on. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. This is not a command. He's not saying you have to give to this collection. He is not saying that. He's going out of his way not to say it. What he's saying is, this is not a command, this is advice. Okay? This is advice. Grace, willingness. This is not an obligation. Okay? This is not an obligation. This is something that you do, and notice how it says to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. In other words, in following the example of the Macedonians, as you give in this way, it shows the genuineness of your love. It shows that God has worked in and through you. Okay? That's what he's saying. And then comes one of the great passages of the New Testament. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Okay? Now that's him explaining it. That's a passage worth memorizing, folks. That's a big one. So let's go through this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's going to explain grace. That though he was rich, what is being talked about here? He was rich when he was the pre-incarnate Son of God in heaven and had all things. He was God. All belonged to him. He was rich. The pre-incarnate Christ had all riches, had everything. Yet, for your sake, he became poor. This is the emphasis on the incarnation. He left the riches of heaven to become man and be born poor in a stable. Okay? And that would also include not only his birth, but that he says he had no place to lay his head. And then his crucifixion and his suffering. All of that, he gave it up. When he was hanging on that cross, he had nothing else to give but the blood in his veins, and he gave that too. So he gave it all up. He became poor. So that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And the riches can be listed as forgiveness, life, probably in the context of 2 Corinthians, it goes back to chapter 5, the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. You have the righteousness of Christ. You have been clothed in his righteousness. Okay? In his righteousness. So, you through his poverty might become rich. Now, that's a good definition of grace. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Okay? That is God pouring out his grace upon you. Unconditional kindness to us. It works grace in us. Okay? Now, verse 10. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. Now he's talking about the fact that when this collection was first begun, they had the desire to do it. They wanted to do it. They just never got around to doing the collection. So he's pointing back that they had the proper motivation to begin with. You see, what's critical here is that God cares more about what's in your heart and motivation than he does what you offer. Okay? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you shall not despise. They had the proper motivation. Now they are going to carry it out. Okay? Now he's exhorting them to take the desire and make it happen. Okay. Make it happen. Bring it to fruition. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. Okay? Let the desire bring about the work itself and complete it. Verse 12, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. This is another one of those things where Paul is being very careful. He does not want anyone to think that he is doing this for the money that would in any way, shape, or form be for him. Okay? Be for him. He is very sensitive about that. Very sensitive. What makes it acceptable to God is the attitude of the heart. What also is important, that what you give, you can give joyfully. If you give it begrudgingly, that's not acceptable. So if you can give $10 and be happy about it, but if you give $15, it makes you mad, don't give $15, give $10. Okay? Basically, that's what it means. right? Because God wants the attitude of the heart to be what is faith and is worked by grace. Okay? It's worked by grace. Now, all right, so 13. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that is a matter of fairness. Your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness or equity. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. He is painting a picture of basically the whole Christian church on earth. When one part of that church is in need, the other part of the church comes to its aid. So that when you are in need, there are Christians elsewhere that will come to your need and fulfill your need. It is a global picture. Okay? It's like us giving to hurricane relief or the fires or tornadoes. And there may come a time when we're in that situation and the church will rise up so there is equity. Now, the quote that he gives is a quote from Exodus chapter 16, when God provided manna for the people. They were to pick up an omer a day. And what happened was, if they picked up a lot, they only had an omer. If they picked up a little, they still had an omer. God brought equity. Now, here's the thing, though. That was among the Jews. Now he's including the Gentiles. Now it's the whole church. Not just Jews, but Jews and Gentiles. It's going out to Gentiles, from Gentiles to Jews, and from Jews to Gentiles. Okay? So he is expanding the entire view of giving. The entire view of giving. All right. I want to cover some more, but let's stop there and see if there are any questions or comments. Or yes?
Regarding the comment before, well, thank gosh, someone is suffering and giving beyond their means, they're more spiritual than I am.
Well, and see, that immediately puts it on the plane of the law, a work. I gave more, so I'm better. Okay. He is fighting that. And he is, again, fighting anything that they can possibly use to accuse him of being after their money. Okay. Yes. That is correct. That's a correct assumption. Other things? Yes. That was what? The manna? Yeah. And God doesn't want you to follow a command. Because he wants you motivated by the gospel, not by a command. Okay? That's different motivation. Well, it is, and that takes prayer. That's a spiritual discipline that you go through, and nobody really can tell another person what's right or what they ought to do. And basically, growing in the grace of giving is just that, growing. Most people start small. And over time, it gives them joy. And they think, maybe I should do more. That is the Holy Spirit working in them. And that process is of God, and not of us saying, well, you got more money than that, give it. That's not what we're talking about here. It's not what we're talking about here. Not at all. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, people sometimes, to James's point, I've preached sermons and talked about the grace of God and how the grace of God works in us. And at the end of the sermon, they said, well, Pastor, I really enjoyed your sermon, but I wish you'd just tell us what we have to do. Okay, just lay it out. What do we have to do? Okay. Well, you know, that's they missed the point. Okay. They missed the point big time. Because that's not the way God wants to motivate us. It's totally different. Now, the final verses here, we can just read through some of these. Again, he's watching his back. But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him, we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. We have no idea who this is. None. It's never mentioned anywhere. There's rampant speculation, but that's all it is. We do not know who this person is. We know he is well known, probably of the churches in Macedonia, but we do not know who. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. In other words, the churches in Macedonia not only gave abundantly, but they appointed this man to go with the offering in its delivery to Jerusalem. Now, Paul is all for this. Paul doesn't want to be accused of absconding with the money. What better way to be able to say, no, we didn't do that, than to have a delegation who brought the funds to Jerusalem, not just the Apostle Paul himself. So Paul is totally for this arrangement. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. This may have been a significant amount of money if it was collected all through Macedonia and now at Corinth. This was not an insignificant amount. And Paul is seeing to it that it's being administered properly. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. Okay? And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters. That's another brother that we don't know who it is. This is separate than the first one. So the delegation is of two brothers, okay, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So you have a delegation coming to receive the offering and ultimately to go to Jerusalem that includes Titus, Paul, and two other brothers. That, it indicates, were appointed by the church to go with the delivery of the offering, to make sure it's administrated and used properly. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. In other words, he's saying, when this delegation gets to you, behave yourselves. Okay? I've told them I'm proud of you. Don't do anything to mess this up. Okay? I want to be proud of you, so act like it. Okay? Now, James, that's a command. Okay? They know what that means. All right? They know what that means. And so this delegation goes. Okay, bud. That is correct. That is correct. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So there is communication between the churches, and that will, of course, continue, into the future. Yeah. Yeah. James?
I know you mentioned that in chapter 7 and chapter
8. Yeah, and it is, that word can be translated in several ways, honorably, faithfully. So it's a nuanced word that basically is pointing to honesty. That's what Paul is emphasizing here, is that it needs to be from the heart, okay, from the heart, and not just superficial, okay, not just superficial. All right, now chapter 9 continues in this vein somewhat. Then we'll move on. But we'll do chapter 9 next week. All right, but this is the major chapter about the collection that was being taken. All right, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.